Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin, and we are here tonight to talk about something that is all the scuttlebutt at your local water cooler, at work, at home.
Scuttlebutt.
That's right, wherever you're at. It is the depth chart, the position battle for the wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. And Glenn, it's crazy that we're talking about this because at the beginning of the offseason, everyone was like, who's catching the football? And now all of a sudden, everyone's like,
well, they were saying, who's throwing the football?
Yeah. Who's throwing the football and who's catching it, right? Like, the only one that had penned in to catch it was Mark.
There we go. Yep.
That was really it. But now, you know, speaking specifically about the wide receiver position, camp is upon us here shortly. You know, they're on their little break. So right now is the time to really break it down. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about all of our wide receivers we have on the roster. And we're going to give our prediction for this position battle, how we think it'll break down. And of course, as always, we want your guys' thoughts below. So Glenn's going to kick us off with kind of what we've done in the past, what status quo is, and the names. So yeah. Glenn, let's get into it, man.
Yeah. So typically the Ravens, they almost always keep six receivers. There's been a rare occasion where they've kept five, but almost, you know, even those occasions, it's almost quickly been elevated to six soon after the start of the season. So it's pretty safe to assume that six is the most likely outcome and five is the kind of the dark horse, you know, secondary outcome, but there's no chance they keep seven, no chance they keep four. Mm-hmm. It's five or it's six. But here's the list, the quite long list. Mm-hmm. I should say here of the current wide receivers on the roster who will be competing for those five to six spots. So you can see at the top, Nelson Agholor, new addition, Rashad Bateman, OBJ. We got Tariq Black, Shamar Bridges, Dante Demas Jr., shout to the Terp, Devin Duvernay, Zay Flowers, Andy Isabella, who's been making some noise, James Prochet, Sean Ryan, Mike Thomas, Laquan Treadwell, and last but not least, Tylan Wallace. So what is that? Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Jimbo, I'm not that good at counting, but I think I just counted 14 guys fighting for just a 5 to 6 spots, Jimbo.
It's crazy. And really, I mean, just to kind of shorten this up, because really, so, I mean, if you think about, like you said, they're fighting for 5, 6 spots, but it's really going to be fighting for one spot, right? Let's just get the locks out of the way, because ultimately, Zay Flowers, lock. Rashad Bateman, lock. Odell Beckham Jr., lock. Can you go up to the top of this? Devin Duvernay, I think, is an absolute lock. So that's four. I think Nelson Agholor is also a lock. I don't think you just bring in a vet, you pay him that money to cut him. I think that would be pretty shocking for me based on the Ravens' history. So that's five.
So we got five locks out of six spots.
Do you have any questions about any of that? Like, do you have any concerns or disagreements about this? You feel the same?
I think the only chance that your five locks aren't locks is if one of them's hurt. One or more are hurt.
Yeah. I mean, is there any way that somehow Agholor gets outplayed in camp? Like, I don't even think there's going to be really the opportunity for him to get outplayed in camp. You know what I'm saying? Like, to truly, for somebody to have enough of a decision to say, Agholor hasn't shown me enough. I'm going with this guy. I just don't think
I'll tell you what, to your point, Jimbo, I wrote this question down right as we were starting. I circled it. And I got, you might think I'm crazy, but just hear me out.
Okay.
What if we just haven't, like, what if we're completely wrong about Prochet and about Tylan Wallace and any of the guys? Well, I guess those two are the main, you know, two there that were here before with Greg Roman's offense.
Mm-hmm.
What if under this offense, what if Todd Monken, being a guy who's coming in from the outside in, looks at those two guys in practice and goes, it's not them.
Yeah.
It's not them. It's they haven't been used in a role where they can excel at. They've been asked to do something, whatever it is, that they are just not, they're not good at. So what if Todd Monken looks at James Prochet and Tylan Wallace in a completely different light than we do?
Yeah, that could happen. That could possibly happen, but ultimately it's just the way the cookie crumbles with the way the roster is already set up. So even if that's the case, you really only got two options. You're going to take more than six? No, I don't think so, right?
No.
And then, so if you're not doing that, then even if you like all of them, that means you just got tougher decisions to make at the end of the day, right? Like, that would suck, and I would feel bad for those players because we wouldn't even be able to get much. Yeah, sure, you can, like, in three preseason games, shelf some stuff that they can do and trade them for what? Like, a bag of peanuts?
Conditional seventh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Not that they're not worth it, but ultimately that's what it would come down to based on the timing and things like that. So that would be a – you know, you want that to be the situation because you want the guys to turn out and play well. How many of them squeeze onto the practice – we can squeeze onto the practice squad? I don't know. You know, how many other teams will pick them off the, you know, the practice squad and things like that. I'm not 100% sure, but that could dang well be the case, Glenn, right? Because that's what everyone's been saying about these guys. Just give them an opportunity, give them an opportunity, give them an opportunity.
Yep.
This could be the opportunity. So, but ultimately I think the roster just breaks down the way it does. So yeah, to your question, let me ask you this question back. If you don't mind putting that back up on the screen.
Yeah, gotcha.
Are there any... So, like, for the sixth spot, I narrow it down even further. To me, in my mind, I go, okay, you got Laquan Treadwell. I think of the group, you correct me if I'm wrong, he's probably the most accomplished. He's, like, the vet. Not that any of them are well accomplished, but, you know, he's a former first-round pick.
Him
he's
or
like,
Isabella.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I have – on the short list, I have him. So, I have Treadwell, I have Isabella. And then, just like you said, I mean, I guess Tylen and Proche, but I'll also say, you know, I know that you like him. Demas, of course, is a giant in comparison to a lot of these guys. I know that Treadwell's a bigger guy. They have him, at 6'2". I've seen other places where he's listed at 6 foot. So I don't know, but he's a bigger guy. And
plays bigger.
Right, that could be different. He's a wider guy, right? He's got, like, that Anquan wide build to him for a receiver. So – But are there any other outside of those? So really got four. You got Isabella, you got Proche, you got Treadwell, and you got Wallace. I mean, are there any other guys you see on there that you really throw in the mix?
Well, I think Andy Isabella has been turning some heads. I know he's a smaller guy.
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So he's one of your, I mean, I honestly don't know a ton about Sean Ryan. I think Mike Thomas has a huge uphill to climb to get to this roster. Tariq Black, same thing. I know people loved Shamar Bridges in the preseason last year, but even in those preseason games, he was forced to make those wow catches because he couldn't get separation. If you can't get separation in a preseason game against guys who will likely not make their roster, then it's pretty hard to believe you'll do so against the starting corners across the league. So I think, man, what I'd hope is that those guys have made huge leaps since we've last seen them and they took advantage of their offseason time and they've put in the work and that we do see more of a competition than what you're suggesting. But I think you're right, Jimbo. I think it comes down to Isabella, Treadwell, and then two guys who were here from last year, the draft picks in James Proche and Tylen Wallace. But I think it could ultimately come down to which one of those guys you view as your better special teams performer, your more versatile special teamer, because Tylen Wallace has been a pretty phenomenal special teamer since he's got here. We know
that's true.
Andy Isabella has the return experience elsewhere that he could show off here in case there's an injury to Devin Duvernay or someone else. But man, I have a tough time even handicapping this one, Jimbo, because like we don't know what Munkin's offense is going to be. We don't know what his opinion is of these guys from what he's seen thus far. And the only thing I will say is that, like, did you take anything out of the type of receiver they decided to bring in when they signed Laquan Treadwell? Like, or did you just look at them as taking this other, you know, that same approach they do to the draft is he was just the best wide out. It didn't matter that he was taller. It just, he was, and if the best wide out was 5'9", that's the guy we would have added. Do you think his body type kind of, you know, weighed in the decision?
Yeah, I think that did, but I think so his body type, I think, did weigh into the decision. But I think ultimately weighed into the decision was they just looked around and said, okay, we need to add a guy to this room to add competition. And he's maybe of the people that are low risk, high reward, he's the highest reward, lowest risk. You know what I mean? He's the leader in both of those areas.
Okay.
Right. Is what I think really what it came down to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you right now, Glenn, it's funny because you said it. Like, if you look at social media, Andy Isabella's making noise. Everyone's talking about the shape that Treadwell's in, you know, how what he's looking like. And he's just looking like he's finally taking it serious and he's excited about getting this shot and all these other things. But this is a difficult one for me if I'm just choosing one. Because two things come into my mind. One, I think the Ravens maybe go with the guy that's been here a while, and then they go with the higher pick. So, and then the special team. So, but then I also think about the other guys that might have a higher upside. Like, I think Andy Isabella and I think Treadwell potentially have higher upside as a pure wide receiver. But I think ultimately the Ravens end up going with Tylan Wallace. Now that I really kind of thought it through, because of the special teams value, and he's just more of a known guy here. And I think generally the Ravens do that. I think if they had to pick between him and Prochet, they pick Wallace. And I think that if they want to take the other guys and Wallace, they pick Wallace because they know him, his character, who he is, you know, his work and all those other things. So they stick with him at the end of, you know, to round out that room. So that makes six receivers for me. I'm going in on Wallace here. And I think that's what ends up happening. Who are you going with?
Man, that's a tough, I wonder if James Prochet will have Todd Monken swept up in his camp antics like he does every year for the media, where he's the first one jogging out onto the field and he's still catching balls from the jugs machine, you know, a half hour after practice is over. I think that Monken is probably going to fall in love with his work ethic. I just don't think he impacts the team on special teams enough to make his roster spot, you know, to keep him on the roster. So I agree. I tend to agree. I think they go with Tylan Wallace. I do find it interesting, though, that they signed Laquon Treadwell when there were other guys available that they could have signed. Now, most of these guys would be more expensive, but I still find it interesting that they didn't really sign a guy, in my opinion, that is going to, like, really push those upper guys at all. Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. really only competing with the bottom, you know, of that roster. So, you know, I think that he was really just brought in. I hate to say it, but I don't think he's much more than, you know, they just needed more depth in that room for the preseason and all that stuff. I really think he has a tough time to get on the roster. But let me ask you this, Jimbo. What do you think the possibilities are? You got a guy, you know, you got a pretty crowded tight end room. You got a bunch of really talented pass-catching tight ends with Andrews and Kohler and Likely. You don't have that traditional blocking tight end in that group, but you do in Pat Ricard, who's now in playing this fullback role that we don't know is even existent in Todd Monken's offense outside of maybe some goal line packages. So if they're going to try and keep Pat Ricard, the assumption is that he's going to switch into being, you know, he'll still play some fullback, but he'll primarily become the blocking tight end in the room. If they have to keep four tight ends, what do you think about the chances that they only keep five wideouts on the primary roster? Maybe slide guys like Prochet and Tylan Wallace through the practice squad.
Yep.
But instead, keep four tight ends now, including Pat Ricard in that four, and only go with five wideouts. And that's a pretty damn strong five wideout group, knowing that who's really going to snatch those guys off your practice right. squad and sign them to their active roster.
Yeah, you know, I think that is very likely. So if we're talking about a scenario where it's five instead of six and Pat's the guy, I think there's more value in Pat Ricard even in this offense than Tylan Wallace in this offense. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if you had to give me the two scenarios, I think that is the – I think other factors will come into play, like the defensive depth at certain positions and things like that as well. But I think ultimately if you're just talking about a give and take between tight end and wide receiver, I think that is the more likely scenario. Unless really what it's going to come down to is one of these guys forcing the way on the roster, you know, not saying taken away from Pat directly, but from another position or, you know, where else that comes from. I think they've got to really force their way on. And that's just the way it is. And for guys that are playing, you know, the fifth wide receiver, you got to do that every year. So that's what it's going to come down to. I think it's going to be really interesting to see. So you're leaning towards Tylan, but you know, I agree with you. Part of me wants it to be Treadwell because that means he balled out. In the post.
Well, I want it to be Demas because that means he balled out.
That's fair. But, like, man, Treadwell had hype coming out. He's a first-round pick, all these things. You know, I think he's still the Ole Miss leader in receiving yards or something. Or,
and that's wide receiver you nowadays.
Yeah. So, like, dude has shown he can do it. I would love for him to just shock the league, right, and do something awesome. That would be a lot of fun. But yeah, I think ultimately ends up being Tyus or Tylan, or like you said, five, and it's none of them. And they all get their walking papers, and we keep Pancake Pat. But let us know what your guys' thoughts are. Leave your comments below. We're really excited to continue this series, position battles. We put more videos out. You know, we'll break down every position group as we lead up to camp. Leave all your comments below. Make sure to hit the subscribe button, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
See you.